It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. Simone behind the glass for us today as we break down all things Kings, Niners, and we try to not get April fooled, which already happened to Dave towards the end. We will discuss fair or foul, April Fools. What are the rules there? That's later in the show. But first, the Kings take care of business as they defeat the Utah Jazz 127-106, and they take care of business. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good, man. Feeling good. Unfortunately, yeah, it feels like we're sitting in a bit of a different situation than we were last week. But, you know, we gotta adjust and try and make the best of it because they still have 8 games left, man. And that's the thing that I keep having to remind myself is it might feel all doom and gloom now, but they still have to play these 8 games and you might as well give your best effort. And so how can we do that is really been something that racked my brain all weekend long was just how are the Kings going to try and patchwork this thing, man? Because they can't just lay down now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a lot of Trey Lyles and maybe even a little Sasha Vezenkov, who hit a three last night as well, and Kessler Edwards getting some time, and Davion Mitchell, 8 points as well. So it's just going to be by committee, and that's what Coach Mike Brown said with Malik Monk out. No one person is going to be Malik Monk or going to fill his shoes. It's going to be by committee, and Sabonis with 17, Harrison Barnes with 24, Keegan Murray with 25, De'Aaron Fox with 24. That's exactly what you need. That's what you need, and if you don't have that from the other guys that are playing, then it's going to be a tough road. But last night was a great start, and now it is time for Frank Facts.
That's right. You can check out Frankie's recaps after every Sacramento Kings game over at SactownSports.com. And let's start with the first one we just mentioned. 8 games now remain between now and April 15th, which is the start of the NBA play-in tournament, which unfortunately seems to be where the Kings are headed. It's not completely locked in. They do sit 2 games behind the New Orleans Pelicans now as the Mavericks move up to the 5 seed over the weekend. The Pelicans are now in the 6th spot. We know the Kings definitely do not own the tiebreaker in that situation. No. So things are looking a little bit tough in terms of their actual getting out of the play-in, but still some time, still 8 games left, and we have to, like I said earlier, still got to play them through. Notes on last night's game, the Kings broke the tie by scoring 15 points unanswered during a game-altering 26-5 run that put Sacramento up 20, a lead that they would not surrender the rest of the night, and that was definitely when things really took off. The Kings, Mike Brown talked about it in the postgame. They started spraying. They started hitting the threes, which was huge. HB knocked down a couple. Keegan Murray looked great. Speaking of HB, he was unstoppable during that third quarter, scoring 16 points. He was 4 of 4 from three-point range over just 7 minutes in that third quarter. Him and Keegan really were the bright spots for the Kings as on Sunday, both forwards crossed the 20-point mark in the same game. Alan Styles, for the first time this season, a trend that they will surely like to see continue as they navigate life without Monk and Herter. That's again from Frankie Cardicelli. De'Aaron Fox did a little bit of everything during the win, posting his 6th double-double of the season. That included 12 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That's not nothing. You know, doing a little Keon Ellis impression there. Yeah. Though at this point, De'Aaron is the one that's definitely been putting him up. De'Aaron has recorded a steal in 20 consecutive games this season, marking the longest steal streak of his career. And that's definitely flown under the radar. We've talked a lot about, of course, Sabonis' double-double streak.
Right.
And talked a lot about Keon's defensive improvement, all that. But 20 straight games with a steal for De'Aaron Fox, that's definitely not something that should just be looked over. Davion Mitchell continues to showcase his improved offense, scoring 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting. He also held a season-high 6 rebounds and passed out 3 assists. We've talked about how him and Keon, their improvement is going to be big for them down this stretch. They're going to rely on those two a ton. Trey Lyles returned to action after 9 games off due to an MCL sprain. He added 9 points on 3 of 5 from downtown. Sasha Vezenkov also returned to the floor after 21-game absence. He scored 5 points on 2 of 3 over 9 minutes. He had a nice 3, had a nice spot in the middle of the paint where he was cutting. Just really missed Sasha and just how good he is navigating the floor. Sacramento is now 24-6 this season when Keegan Murray scores 20-plus points in a game. So that, again, seems to be the key for the Kings. The remainder of these games is HB and Keegan being locked in. And those two, they were absolutely locked in on yesterday's game. But that's going to have to continue. We can't see a lot of the inconsistencies from Keegan and definitely from HB that we've seen throughout this season, man. Because those two, especially with Malik and Kevin Huerter out, They just have to be great, man. They really do every night.
The greenest of green lights for Keegan Murray. Yeah. Just put him up 10 for 18 and 5 and 12 from 3-point land. They're just, you have to be a volume shooter now.
Yep.
That's what happens with Malik Monk out.
Yep.
And, you know, we're talking to Carmichael Dave after the show ends and just having conversations about Malik Monk, and we'll get into the numbers here in a little bit, but this could be life next season, right?
And, could be.
And obviously you would hope somebody else joins, but you're getting a little taste of life without Malik Monk. If somebody else throws him a bag that the Kings literally cannot afford to do, you're gonna need that Keegan Murray jump yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Absolutely. It no longer becomes a nice perk. It's now a necessity.
Yeah.
And, I feel like now is a great time to show it. He's had a year and 3 quarters pretty much 2 full years now to get ready for a moment like this. This is exactly the time in the season where you'd want to see him start to take that leap. It's coming at a good time. It's all open. And like you said, just the ultimate green light. Keegan really can't be too aggressive, it feels like, in these games. It feels like everybody knows. I mean, yesterday the shot distribution was wonderful. Whitey actually asked about it in the postgame. They really did a great job of spreading the ball around, but more times than not, it's not going to be that clean. And there's going to be nights where it's a lot of De'Aaron Fox, and they're probably going to, you saw last night, they had to do a little bit more aggressive Sabonis looking for his shot. They're going to need Keegan Murray to, I don't know what the number is, like 16, at least 16 shots a game. It feels like he's going to have to take a pretty big leap on the offensive end here down the stretch.
Yeah, and you see De'Aaron Fox putting up 24. That's a guy who you're seeing his evolution. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to break down how much people believe in De'Aaron Fox as the guy, because I think people are torn, man. I think people are torn on what his ceiling is. And, you know, I'm not going to name names, but you're sitting there and you're watching the Mavs with Kyrie and Luka.
Yeah.
And, some people had some things to say just as far as there's just a difference. Yep. There's a difference. The question is, can De'Aaron get there?
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you believe in him. And this is not proving time, but pretty darn close to proving time.
Absolutely.
Your guys are down. How good are you, De'Aaron? How good do you want to be?
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of caring. I do believe he cares. It's just a matter of, look, you're looking at Shea.
Yep.
You're looking at guys around the league. The parity is outstanding right now. Who's going to step up? And this is a great time to do it. And he did it last night. And it's not just about scoring at a high. He did it with 12 assists as well for a nice double-double. If you're playing like that, how far can the Kings go?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they need him to be the best player on the floor more times than not, and they're going to need him to look like the guy he looked like in the playoffs last year, and it's going to be on him and Sabonis. Absolutely. It can't just be De'Aaron Fox, because down the stretch, we know Malik Monk that's really when he was shining the most. We've had conversations this year about, is Malik Monk really the Kings' most clutch player this season? So they're going to need, you know, their other All-NBA player, the guy who they've relied on a lot this season, to step up as well. also, we could talk about it too. We've had a lot of conversations here about Mike Brown and how, you know, I personally have given him a big slide for the guy saying putting more of the blame on the guys. This is now at a point where we talk about the best coaches in the NBA, guys like Eric Spoelstra. They make their money, they make their credibility off of how they coach environments that don't look like winning situations,
right,
but yet they still win. So now, not only is the pressure elevated on Sabonis, absolutely, not only is it elevated on De'Aaron Fox, but it's also elevated on Mike Brown too. Like, you got to push all of the right buttons at this point in the season, especially with all those guys down. You need to know your team at this point.
Coming up next, we open up the phone lines and we break down Malik Monk and his sprained knee. Mike Brown had some things to say about it as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Doncic, right angle, splitting defenders, draws a foul. He'll be going to the free throw line for Dallas. Okay, ended up on top of one of the Kings.
Yeah, he landed right on top of Malik Monk, G-Man.
And Malik is still on the floor. Oh, I see now on a replay, and that was Malik went down on his left hip, and then Luka landed right on his right knee and lower leg.
Not only did Luka, I'm just trying to recap that night in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
This guy disrespects the Kings. He didn't get drafted. That's not his fault. He reminds us with Vlade. He takes out Malik has been one of the best players this season. He takes out sixth man of the year front runner.
Yep.
What a terrible night. What a terrible night. And I know they beat the Jazz last night, but just big picture as we get into this Malik Monk stuff. Brutal.
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 Absolutely brutal. There was a couple times where on Saturday I just found myself shaking my head, and like it was like I had PTSD or like some real trauma where it just like moments from the night before just would flash across my eyes, and I'd be like, oh my God, that was just 24 hours ago. What happened? And it was a roller coaster. And the fact that that happened early in the game too, it really affected the night. I mean, I think obviously the Kings could have desperately used Malik Monk in that second half, and I think that's a big reason why they did end up losing on Friday. I feel like Malik, you know, he had been on a rough stretch right before that time. He had had a couple a 0 point performance, just a lot of inefficiencies in his shooting. And you could feel that he was going to use that as kind of a springboard. And he had, I mean, crazy enough, right before he gets hurt, the last shot he makes is this, like, over-the-head flip and one.
Yep.
And you kind of feel like he missed his first three.
He did.
I do remember that.
He did.
I remember you were concerned about him missing his first three. And then he has that and one, and it's like, all right, cool, let's get it going. Malik's going to feel himself.
We want the funk.
It was all vibing. And then... and then that happens.
Luka flops and falls on him.
I know that was like Chris. Obviously, you hate what happened, but like the fact that it happened, I was like, Christopher Laud somewhere has a smirk on his face because literally Luka fell on Malik, and that's all it took to hurt him. Because like it's one of those where I've been test casing it, man. Like, these injuries that don't look that serious in the moment, nothing twists, nothing like really banged or anything like that. He walks off. There was kind of like, oh, like Malik looks like he's okay. And then we find out, you know, the next day he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Just a huge blow. I mean, you know, obviously everybody out there who watched any King, you could watch two Kings games this year and you would know how important Malik Monk is to this team. It's a devastating blow. Mike Brown said it yesterday. Like, you can't just replace a guy like Malik Monk. So there is no, hey, Trey's back, Sasha's back, it's okay, we'll be able to patchwork things. This is not something that you can just patchwork. On top of the Kevin Huerter injury as well, you're now on guys that you were not expecting to have impact in the playoffs if the Kings even do get there at this point. But at this point in the season, you weren't supposed to be relying on Keon Ellis and Kessler Edwards. And, you know, definitely you were expecting to rely on Davion. But, you know, a lot of these bench guys that are playing, you weren't really expecting to rely on at this point in the season.
Yeah. And, you know, losing a guy like Malik, you talk about 15.6 points a game, 5 assists a game. You really just can't replace somebody like that. And that's exactly what Mike Brown had to say.
You can't replace Malik. That's tough. He did a lot for us. And he could easily start for a lot of teams, but he was on the floor a lot of times down the stretch of our games. And so to think that one person is going to come in and replace him, it's not possible. So we got to do it by committee. Again, it's just the next guy up. And if your number's called, you got to go play within what you do. Play your role as best you can. And a prime example of a great pro is Kessler. You know, his number was called in the last game. I don't know when the last time he played significant minutes during a tough stretch. And he defended his behind off as best he could. He rebounded as best he could. And he played within himself offensively. That ball got swung to him. They sagged off him. And he shot it. He let it fly. And so everybody else has to understand what their role is and not try to do too much, but try to bring whatever their role is to the table at the highest of high levels. And then, you know, of course, it's good to get Trey back and great to get Sasha back. And we just got to figure out how to make sure we mix them in the right way without messing with any of the rhythm or anything like that we may have already.
Chris, one question for you.
What's up?
Do you think that this is the last time we will see Malik Monk in a Kings jersey?
I hate that you just asked that question. It's a totally fair question. Absolutely. I mean, we asked the same question about Kevin Huerter. So yeah, we have to ask the same question about Malik, whose contract is up. I don't think it is. There definitely might be some optimism behind there. I think, you know, what he's building here, I do think he actually does care about. I do think the relationship that he has, not only with De'Aaron Fox, but with Mike Brown, does matter to him. I think it matters that the Kings gave him a shot initially. I do think Malik does care about those things. However, it would be really ignorant to not ignore the facts of the matter that there are a lot of teams out there that can offer Malik pretty much everything he's asking for. And if not, they only are missing one thing. Mm-hmm. And you can balance it with giving him everything else, whether it be a starting spot, more money,
right,
bigger stage, a better team, you know, or just, you know, in the case of San Antonio, like, you can play with Wemby. Like, you might not be playing for a definite playoff team right now, but think about all the ESPN games Wemby's going to have. And if Malik is part of building, similar to what he just did here in Sacramento, if he can build something with Wemby in San Antonio, the amount of media that he'll, or just not necessarily media, but attention, mm-hmm, that'll get Malik personally, instead of being a sixth man, he'll be somebody who's viewed as a starter on that team or as a really, really key contributor. There's just a lot of other factors out there that are probably going to pull Malik really close to going away, but the Kings just really have to rely on the fact that we're building something, and, you know, it would be a really devastating blow if he were to leave. And so all those other situations, they might value him now, but Sacramento knows exactly what Sacramento knows that they need Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And maybe that will be something that's enticing to him, just knowing, hey, these guys are probably going to have my back no matter what. And if those situations fail, yeah, I went to go get my bread, but they might not treat me the same.
Yeah. And it really just comes down to how different the offers are.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a small part of me that thinks, well, obviously, you wanted to see Malik Monk in the playoffs,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Of course. But if you probably weren't winning the whole thing this year anyway, if Malik Monk gets into the playoffs, and we know we're not hiding Malik Monk.
Sure.
Everybody, he's gonna win sixth, right, man of the year, but
that price could go up.
That price, if, yeah, he balled out, right, in the playoffs, then you could just say goodbye.
Right.
At least now,
sure,
there's a chance. If,
right,
he balled out in the playoffs, I don't think there was a chance, because it just would have driven up the price.
That's an interesting point. No, you're not. That's totally fair, especially when you look at, yeah, a team like Orlando or like Philadelphia,
yeah,
who might look at him in the playoffs and say, oh, this dude's like a big game player.
Yeah.
And that's somebody that it doesn't matter. Nothing else, mm-hmm, matters. We need a guy like that in our building.
So at least now you still have a chance.
That's a good point.
916-339-1140. Yeah. Let's get to Rob, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Rob? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, so I'm definitely thinking a lot about exactly what you're talking about with Monk. Can I ask one question and then ask the big question?
Sure.
So what do you guys – okay, Philly's got a ton of money. We just talked about Philly.
Yeah.
I look at it with Monk, like four teams, Orlando, Philly, Spurs, Pistons, right? Yeah. With Philly, you guys just spelled it out a little bit. They've got to re-sign Maxey. So is he a max player? Is he going to get 35 or 40 million? If he gets 35 or 40 – that if he gets 40 million, that's only like 19 million in cap space to deal with re-signing Melton, Korkmaz, and Harris, and then do they want to go after Monk? So that's out. And you know, it's like, I'm not saying it's out, but I mean, they got to make big decisions. And I mean, I can't see them signing one guy over trying to sign an entire team.
Exactly.
And then you look at the Spurs, and you got Wemby. Playing next to Wemby would be great, but they're another one to three years out from doing damage, you know, in Western Conference. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, adding Monk to Wemby would be phenomenally fun to watch, but does that get them into the playoffs? And does Monk want to wait two or three years to build that, or does he want to take a shot now?
Right.
And, you know, if they're going to offer him $20, $25 million, is that extra $5 to $7 million a year going to be enough for Monk to sit on a team that's not winning,
right?
Versus, you know, you win now, and if we sign Monk for 2 years and give him a player option in that second year, it's not like the wink wink deal. It's like, keep doing what you're doing, and then we'll negotiate this next year because we'll have your bird rights, and we can dip into our luxury tax to pay you what you're worth. And I mean, that is a big gamble, you know. But part of me is asking the big question. That's why I called it, to see what you guys think. Are we thinking, do we think Monk is going to be one of those guys who puts winning above things, you know, other things? I kind of think that's who he is. He's a competitor. Yeah. He wants to win. Then you add his relationships with the guys on the team. You know, you look at what he's looking for first, you know, because he's worth that money. But at the same time, are you going to go to the Pistons? No, I don't think Pistons are conversation. I think my biggest worry is Orlando.
Yeah, that's,
they have the money. They don't have the players that they need to worry about re-signing. But do you build a team around, you know, him and Paolo?
Right. I mean, and maybe? No, you're spot on, Rob. I mean, there's a lot of – thanks for the call as well. We're up against it. There's a lot of options out there for Malik Monk. The bottom line is everybody's got a price, right? So it's not that he – everybody does like winning. It's a matter of how much do you like winning. And the issue also is, that's why in Anthony Slater's article, he also talked about that himself winning. But the question is, where do you see the Kings, right? If you take off your purple glasses, right, where do you see the Kings as far as their path compared to the other teams out there, not just in the West, but also in the East? When we return, continuing the Malik conversation, more of your calls, more of your texts, more of your Sack Chat. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Here's De'Aaron Fox on the left angle for the Kings, changes directions, drives right, kicks it out on top, uncovered, Keegan Murray, score the triple. Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes have each made 5 3-pointers in this game. They are a combined 10 for 17 from downtown. Each has now scored 23 points.
That was a much healthier Keegan Murray than the one we heard against Dallas. That was one of the saddest Keegan Murray chants I've ever heard in my life.
Keegan Murray. Murray.
As people were just walking out.
Yeah exactly.
just leaving. But the Kings turn it around and they get a much needed win against the Jazz, and we're breaking down all things Malik Monk, who is out and will be out unless the Kings make it to the Western Conference Finals. Mm. So do with that what you will. And Malik Monk, who has been just so important to this team throughout the season, not having him is quite the blow. And Chris Watkins thinks that he will return, or I guess thinks and hopes he will
mainly
return.
Hopes.
But Chris, if we're looking at this just from the logistics, do you just think that it's the difference is going to be $17 million versus $22 million? Because when we had someone call in and say, hey, how much does somebody want to win versus the money? The question is the number. The question is 17 versus 20, okay. And I get to play with my boys. I get to play with De'Aaron. I get to get coached by somebody I really like and believes in me, in Mike Brown. 17 to 20, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You get to set. You get to 20. You get past 22, 20.
25. That's when it gets. That's when the balance starts to lean towards the other way, and then that's where the other factors also start to kick in. I mean, you know, again, we've had the conversation all year. Is Malik starting? Is it a big part of the negotiation? How much does he actually care about that? Again, you referenced the Slater article. He says in that article that he does want to start, but he understands what's best for the team, or maybe not even understands, but is willing to accept it because that's just the way it is, and he's just trying to win games, and anything that coach says to win games, he will do. You know, Orlando, again, can offer him possibly a starting spot next to Jalen Suggs. Orlando's a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. They're just as young, if not younger, than Sacramento is. You're in Florida. There's just a lot of things that work in his favor for that one. And it's just tough. I mean, you know, it's truly up to Malik. There's going to be a lot of things that make sense one way or another. And at the end of the day, he's put himself in a situation to have as many great offers that offer different things for him, whatever it's going to truly be, whatever Malik cares about. I mean, if he wants to rise his star, there's going to be an option for that. If he's looking to contend and be a starter on a winning team, there's something there for that. If he wants to be, and I don't want to romanticize the Kings more than maybe what it is, but if he wants to truly possibly build something special from the ground up, he could stay here in Sacramento. And I do think that there is, people might undervalue how important that is, that he is a part of the building of this. He saw the Beam team rise from the start. He understands how, you know, it's the evil you do know against the evil you don't know. A lot of people will take the situation that they at least understand versus complete and utter chaos, which could end up in something good, but it could also end his career in totality. Malik has talked a lot this year, and a little bit last year, but a lot this season, about how, you know, he thinks about how close he was to not being in the NBA. He was, you know, going through some stuff off the floor. Charlotte, he felt like wasn't giving him a good opportunity. He hits free agency and nobody offers him anything, so he signs with the Lakers for a cheap deal. You know, he might just say, again, these guys bet on me early, and I appreciate that, and I recognize that, and that's really what matters to me. So again, we can, you know, try and guess what Malik's going to do, but at the end of the day, it is truly all in Malik Monk's hands, and it's going to be up to him to decide what path he wants to take.
Yeah, I want to believe that he'll stay, but if you just look at the numbers and you look at how good he's been this season, you know that there are going to be a lot of other teams that are interested. And ultimately, the decision is Malik's. And what he not believes in, but kind of in a way, and how much does he believe in this team? How much, how close?
For sure.
And that's why I know the Kings are in a weird spot, because I know how important it is to let Malik know, hey, you're our guy. Mm-hmm. But they also need to show Malik that they are good enough to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Right.
So as you're also talking to Malik, but at the same time, you're saying, hey, these are the other moves that we're planning on making. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Malik wants to run that. We're seeing right now, you can't run that back.
Absolutely not.
You cannot run that back.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah. You know, and I think you talked about that last week. Do you need to make a deal before you even get to the negotiation table with Malik for what you just described, to show him, hey, no, we're not just running it back. Hey, we're not cutting corners here. We're going to really try and make a push for this thing, and here's a prime example of it. Come continue to build upon this. We're not just, you know, stagnating. We're really trying to build upward. We'll see. I mean, I think something definitely like that's going to have to be done, but even, again, in the immediate, they can do themselves a lot of favors by showing out right now, by showing Malik, hey, there is something here. Keegan's growth. I mean, if Keegan averages 20 points the rest of this season, wouldn't that excite Malik Monk to come back and say, just like we just talked about, oh my God, it looks like Keegan did finally take that leap. Now imagine if we had this version of Keegan Murray from the start of this year. or at least at the start of next year, and you have Malik Monk, what does that mean for this team? The Kings can still do themselves a lot of favors in the at the negotiation table by showing out right now. Even Keon right. Ellis, that can be a piece where it's like, hey, Malik, look at this guy that we just found on the cheap. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be the defender that you're going to have next to you for the next 3-4 years if you re-sign.
Yeah, and the thing is, if all you're missing is a wing defender, you can find that, right? You can. Well, clearly it's not as easy as as we think because the Kings haven't found it. And
everybody else seems to have.
Well, that might be Keegan Murray, but you just need another guy that you can throw out there. You find a guy like that and you say, look, Malik, our defense – you see what we're doing here. You see the guys that are taking a leap. Get into the playoffs. If they get into the playoffs, I think that bodes very well for Malik staying. Yeah. But a quick out, even without Malik, he might sit there and say, I mean,
I can do that anywhere.
I can go do that anywhere. In San Antonio I can for literally go do that in San Antonio with a generational player in Victor Wembanyama. This is from ZeusMan65 on the Sack Chat. Shout out to the Sack Chat. By the way, not sure why you think the Kings are building a winner. They just don't have a guy. Luka, Shea, Giannis, Jokic, those are guys, not Fox and Sabonis. That is 12 p.m. is when we will have that conversation about De'Aaron Fox and where you would put him in that group and can he still get there or can he not? I think that what I've seen, Chris, as far as Kings fans and how they feel about De'Aaron, I don't know that everybody's convinced, but that's at 12 p.m. When we return, continuing the conversation on Malik Monk, also hearing from Mike Brown as well, and we talk Sasha and Trey's return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Is De'Aaron the guy? I really think that he is on his way. The problem is you're looking at different guys throughout the Western Conference that are generational. And I don't know that De'Aaron Fox is generational. I was going back and forth, Chris, with one of my follower on social media, but obviously they've been following me from my time in the Bay. So, you know, I posted this weekend and I was just talking about the path for the Kings and how if you look big picture, because I was down bad. I mean, you alluded to it as well. I think we all did a double take and just thought to ourselves, did that really happen last night when Malik went down? And it took a little bit to kind of put things in perspective. And I had somebody, you know, comment and say, well, Steve Kerr came in and won immediately. And I said, and they asked me if I had, if anything was wrong with my memory and how I didn't remember if I forgot that Steve Kerr came in and flipped it. And I said, my memory is actually incredible. Is everything good with your memory? Because you just ignored Mark Jackson's years and the Warriors unable to get over the hump and Steve Kerr coming in. And a lot of people didn't even want to give Steve Kerr credit for getting over the hump and to say Mark Jones kind of deserves Jackson. Or Jackson deserves that
Mark
ring
Jones
too.
Deserves all the credit.
Mark Jones always deserves credit. Hotter than fish grease.
That's right.
So it was a tough day. It's been a tough weekend for the Kings. But if you look at it big picture, it could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mike Brown has been talking to us for a while now. It feels like for the past month and a half about how this is a process and, you know, they're still only in year two of the process. It could definitely be a lot worse. You know, you could have your, you know, Malik is definitely a star on this team, but you could have one of Fox and Sabonis out and then really see how screwed you could be without one of those guys, though you would hope Malik would be somebody who would step up in that situation. I mean, it's unfortunate that they're here, but at the same time, there will be learning lessons along the way. And we've talked about it. We talked about it last week. Even if this season is whatever, however it ends, there are still positives to take out of this year. And as we just talked about in a couple segments ago, you could still have a chance to take another major positive away from this. Even if, you know, the Kings do only make it into the play-in and maybe they win one of the play-in games. Maybe they don't. Who cares? Well, not who cares. It definitely matters. Mm-hmm. But you can still have major, major things that are building towards something in the future. And, you know, again, you said it earlier, this team was not going to win a championship this season. And so what can you take to get closer and closer and closer to that? That's what this season was always going to be about, but especially now, this is a great opportunity to, you don't dip your toe in anymore. This is go all the way in and see, is Kessler Edwards, anything from is Kessler Edwards a guy that we want on this roster to can Keegan Murray be a potential one or number two starter on this team? All of those questions and all in between, Alex Len's future on this team. What does Davion Mitchell, who's going to be, I think his contract's up at the end of this year, what are they going to do with that situation? Sasha, is that something that you want to move on from? There's still tons that you can learn from this season, and there's still a lot of positives that you can learn. And, you know, the season's still not over. They still can win that play-in situation. They still can get a favorable 2-7 matchup in that case and play maybe the Timberwolves or OKC like we've been asking for all year. So it might not look pretty, but at the same time, things could still fall in the Kings' direction, and we can still feel really good about how the year went.
916-339-1140, all guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to the phone lines, and Rich wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Rich? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I guess good morning. Good conversation. I had a couple of thoughts about Monk and just a couple of side issues. One, I don't think Monk, the idea whether Sacramento makes moves is the preeminent determinant. I think one, money. He took a gamble, and he could sign with other clubs. I think Sac is limited by the amount of money, and I heard that he could be offered as much as 25 mil versus 17 or 18 from Sac. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard, even on your network. The other thing is that Monk wants to start. Mike Brown, for all his good coaching, is a very obstinate guy. He started Kevin Huerter when he was playing terribly. Mm-hmm. In other words, it looks like Mike fills out his play card. Whether it was like he had this obsession with Kevin Huerter that continued through the playoffs last year when Huerter stunk up the court, and he still stuck with him. So I have a problem with the way Mike Brown is dealing with his personnel big time. Mm-hmm. So I think if Monk does not start, if he's offered a starting role and more money, why wouldn't he go to another team? That's just a couple of ideas. The other thing I wanted to add was just a side note that nobody talks about is that the Kings had Dante DiVincenzo on their roster. They made a big deal for trading for Kevin Huerter. Who's playing better now, Dante or Kevin Huerter? They had him on the roster, and they let him go. So, I mean, again, we're doing a lot better as an organization, but there's a lot to be desired in the way that Mike manages his personnel. Anyway, that's what I have to add.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Dante DiVincenzo, and you can speak to it probably better than I can, his time in Sacramento was a bit confusing, but let's not forget – Dante DiVincenzo was on the Warriors prior to the Knicks, and he was not very good. Yeah, I mean, he was okay. He was a defense. He was supposed to be a defensive guy. Yeah. He was not shooting like this. So Dante DiVincenzo now as a volume shooter, part of that is because the Knicks aren't very good on offense.
They have no other offensive options.
So I don't know that you want that, right? If and this is no disrespect to Dante. If Dante DiVincenzo, our teams around the league saying, I want a guy like Dante DiVincenzo to take 15 threes a game.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, they're not. No.
I don't think so. That's based on the injuries that they have with Randall being out. Yep. So I understand that Kevin Huerter had it wasn't a good season. It wasn't good. He was coming off a career season.
Yeah.
So those two differences, it's like when you leave a sauna. It feels really cold outside because you were just in a hot sauna. So Kevin Huerter, to do what he did last season and then be so different this season, that's why it's a real sucker punch.
Shock to the system.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's probably realistically somewhere in the middle of last season and this season. Yeah. That's probably what Kevin Huerter is.
Yeah.
And Dante DiVincenzo, he's having a good season as well. Mm-hmm. But who played better last season? Kevin Huerter or Dante DiVincenzo?
Absolutely.
So I hear it, but I'm not going to overreact because Dante DiVincenzo is chucking up a bunch of threes in New York because they don't have anybody else. Josh Hart can't buy a bucket. He's a rebounder. He's a rebounding guard.
Okay, sure.
You got Hartenstein. They're more known for their podcast talking about his nationality than doing anything offensively. So I hear what you're saying on the Monk stuff. And I will say this, though. Malik Monk, and we've talked about it, there are things that maybe come from up top, whether it's Vivek or whoever. Malik Monk has to start next season.
More than likely.
So more than likely. Yeah. Because if I'm going to sit on the bench, I'm going to sit on the bench for the Bucks, or I'm going to sit on the bench for a true contender. I'm not going to sit on the bench for a team that's fighting to stay out of the play-in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He's got to look out for himself too. And yeah, Malik has let it known he wants to start. Who knows if it'll end up being the end-all be-all, but absolutely, especially when other teams can offer him that starting spot, it's be kind of tough for the Kings to go into those negotiations and just say, look, Mike Brown has let his feelings known. He doesn't want you to start. That could really be something as small as that could end up being the difference. I would imagine that the Kings would be willing to budge on it.
I'll tell you this much, and we'll get into more of this when we return, but not only is Malik Monk needed on the court, he's also needed off the court.
Absolutely.
And I will explain, and Chris will chime in as well when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.